the local church.
Somebody is going to examine Missionary Baptist doctrine. They're going to approach it. Now, what defense would you have from the apologetic standpoint? What would you throw up? That's against the other religions or different from them.
Definition of the distinctive,
huh?
Definition of the church.
Right. Definition of the church.
Definition of baptism or something.
Well, to really be distinct would be restriction on baptism and Lord's Supper. That would be distinct from others, would it? All right. Well, local independency instead of universalism. Right?
Salvation by grace through faith.
And eternal at that. And eternal at that.
Yeah.
there's other religions that have that.
Yeah.
It would still be peculiar to us.
All right. The major weaknesses of the apologetic method are two. It tends to regard religion chiefly as a system of doctrine or truth claims. You already have this.
Yeah.
To be supported by rational argument, and it tends to emphasize the controversial aspect of religion. In other words, about all you'll get to defending is or the controversial things, you know, like eternal security. We would head up on that. And there's so much of the doctrine that's great, gracious, you know, and good that we'll leave out, undone, untouched, unexplored, unpursued, unpromoted, you know, if we aren't careful. Get lopsided, you know, get lopsided. And have an unbalanced religion. In relation to the one, it must be noted that a way of life may be better than the abstract reasons which can be given to support it or the arguments which may be leveled against it. In relation to the other, the student may be left without the impression that the leading position in religion are points of debate and consequent uncertainty. Now, do you... well, here's what I believe. I believe that the rapture should be studied without being headed under the title question. Isn't that what you hear when you hear they say rapture question? Where the rapture question is concerned, I think it should be discussed not in question form. There are those things that we don't understand about the rapture, but it shouldn't be presented in a question form. We know what the definition of the word rapture is, don't we? So we can defend on the rapture subject, use it as subject and not as question. We can defend the subject as far as we have scriptures for defense.
Here it goes.
One of the dangers of the apologetic approach to religion. It gets us one-sided. Have you not heard the people say the church question comes up? What is there to question about the church? It should never be discussed under question mark, but under subject matter. Under subject matter. The eternal security question comes up. There's no question about it. It should be dependent on the proposition of fact, not question. And if we aren't careful, there's where the danger of the apologetic approach comes in. We start on the defense so much that it'll actually, people will get the idea that we have a question concerning it, you know. How about the leadership of the Holy Spirit? Some people get off of it because there's a question about whether or not we believe alike concerning the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It raises a question. It should not be considered as a question, but as fact. It's fact. Leadership of the Holy Spirit is a fact. And discuss it as far as scriptural facts are concerned. I have to have personal hang-ups there because people go to the feeling instead of fact. And when one goes to the feeling, he done left me aside because I have to stay with the fact. You know? And all people have different emotions, you may find this to be true. while you are approaching, starting from the feeling of one, and the standpoint of view of another, you may find a clash there. You have to know how to reason this one out, you know. But you got to keep peace between them. They have to strive for unity. Number two under this approach. Number two under the element, the approach of religion, how to define it, find out all about it, is, we are studying it, the genetic approach. The genetic approach. This is the next point. The genetic approach. Now, what is genetic? What does it mean? What does the word mean?
It's a hereditary trait.
All right. So we would commonly refer to this as a historical approach to the study of religion. The historical approach to the study of religion. And the particular faith under consideration is traced to its earliest beginnings as well. You go back to the source, the origin. The origin. Isn't that what we do concerning church history? We go back and back and back and come forward. How many routes do we travel through church history? I have four different routes of travel through church history. All of them are different history. They come to this time, you know. But you have so many different ways of tracing it. But it's always interesting to know that you can trace the church back to the Sea of Galilee, can't you? Galilee, where Jesus started it. But where he developed it, I don't know. They have been still in development until the last of the inspired writers stopped it. They have been still developing. But it's his church started there in Galilee. I don't think it fully developed at the day of Pentecost. Baptized, sure. But still developed. Changed a lot. Before they got loose from the apostles and took off. They were still ordering things around them. The apostle Paul ordered things in the church at Corinth. They, what was it, in the 14th chapter, speaking of the spiritual gifts of being that thing, he professed the spiritual, extra professional where the spirit is concerned. But let him understand that I write this. Development throughout history is taken as the sole measure of its present meaning and value. There are advantages in the genetic method which have made it very popular. The child is present to the man. And the earlier forms of any religious belief reveal its essential character before the forces leading to sophistication have had opportunity to work. Let's look at the time of the child. Has he had opportunity to develop himself yet? But you watch his development, and in many instances, before one is appointed to a job later on, they like to have some background to what he did in his past. They like to evaluate him from the standpoint of his time of development. Did he just jump up overnight, or did he have some stability behind his development? You understand what I'm talking about there. You see a church, the Lord Jesus Christ has the same doctrine we have. You ought to know where it came from, though. You know? Did it just spring up overnight, or was it in developing properly from a proper source, proper beginning? An arm, we call it. I don't know where that came in, but we call it arm. And it has a particular meaning with missionary Baptists, that thing called arm. All right. We want to we can detect sometimes the sophistication of a development by its origin, at a beginning. If you look out at a little horse, a little colt, there are certain things about a race horse that would show up early in a colt. You see that colt, man, head, eyes. And so it is with the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have a proper origin, they can become sophisticated. And sophisticated doesn't mean complicated, but it means something with pride, something with fear. Wishy-washy, unstable, sophisticated. I used to be strange if that word was used to a human being. He's a blue bug, sophisticated, aristocrat. So when you get to talking with him, they seem like common folk to me. They talk to me as though I were a kid, you see. I couldn't see him as a sophisticated. But you know, when I can think back to those days, and I'm not able to remember every conversation I had with them, I could see the sophistication in it because there was no waste matter in their conversation. I can remember what they said was meaningful. They said it was not waste. They really should have been a proud people because they had a good beginning and a good development. And consequently, they were some we won't compromise. And so, this is great. Both strength and weakness may be assessed against the background of early simplicity. Both strength and weakness may be assessed against the background of early simplicity. Abraham Lincoln had an early, simple life, didn't he, in his early life? Didn't he always take pride in boasting of the fact that he'd wielded the rail-splitting axe and entered the judge contest and pie-eating contest? That he had no formal education, he borrowed books and read them, but that's a simple beginning.
Walked 5 miles in the rain.
Yeah. Lost his father early in life with an Indian raid. Had to make the living himself with a grub hoe, a Georgia stock, a broom-tailed mule, and something like that. He had a simple beginning. Many people would remain in a simple state. But there was one who built upon a simple beginning. And when asked, when he entered politics, why do you want to become president of the United States? He pushed his hat on the back of his head, I am told, and said, that the people have a hard life. It's hard for them to live and put up with everything I put up with. And I want to simplify it, make it easier for the people to live. Now, that was based upon a simple beginning. That's what he could see of people. It'd be taken on due advantage of. He wanted to simplify it for the people. And I guess that had a tendency to add to what was called the Civil War, trying to free or liberate some people, you know. Make it easier on the landlords. You know, slavery was a great strain upon the landlords. You just have to assume responsibility of people. Then when one got out of line, they had to abuse a man in order to keep up with the social state. If others were doing it, expected of him. If you let this one get by, it was hard on the other farm and his slave, and it put a lot of pressure on him. Had to do things he didn't want to do. It was ill-stated. It was out of proportion. It was awful hard for both slave and landlord. You can see from his simple background, both strength and weakness can come from a background of early simplicity. most frequently is evil. The ever-present danger in genetic effort lies in evaluating the present validity of a religious belief by its past development. The ever-present danger in the genetic method lies in evaluating the present validity of a religious belief by its past development. Like you look under Catholicism. They've got a real strong force in America. But look at its development. What's wrong with that thing? We sure have trouble with it. Of religion, religious belief by its past development. Because you'll look at its development and forget the biblical source of the beginning. You see what I'm talking about? You'll be hung up on looking at the development, the historical part of it, and forget the beginning. And consequently, what is the simple rule that you follow? You may have a proper subject. You may have a proper premise on the subject. So while it's a proper beginning, if you don't know a proper beginning, you'll have a false conclusion. You know, you may have a proper premise of the subject and an improper beginning. Maybe you have a proper beginning, but you'll have an improper development. Or